boys, how's your weeks been?
Oh, not bad, Tiz. I'm sitting here in Tenerife. Absolutely enjoying my time.
Are you a tax exile?
How many nights are you allowed to spend out of the country?
It has been absolutely wonderful, guys. Say this quietly. No grandkids this time. Just me and the good lady Margaret. It has been heaven. It has been heaven. I wouldn't have been able...
Oh, you'll be in bed for 8 o'clock.
Steady, Charlie.
easy. What have you been up to over there, Tomo? You're not playing golf, are you?
No, I didn't play any golf. It's just been really nice, relaxed. I watched the Mighty Reds from an Irish bar here in Costa Rica last Saturday, and I was absolutely delighted with it. It was a good game, by the way. Palace were all right, considering the scoreline. But
I didn't think they did too bad.
Yeah, but life's been good. How have you been, Charlie?
Yeah, all good, pal. The Gunners obviously got a wee result last week at Burnley, which I thought we always managed to get ourselves a result there. It's always tight. But quite pleasing for me, and we'll probably talk about it as we go on, the performance of the goalkeeper in particular. So maybe, but it could be a turning point for the Gunners, so I'm quite upbeat.
Interesting one. Tomo, you know, were you in Tenerife on Saturday, or were you at the game? Did you fly out Sunday?
No, I was out here. I came out here on the Friday, and I watched the match on the Saturday, as I say, in a lovely Irish bar with a lot of other Reds.
I tell you what I was going to ask you about, Tomo. Sadio Mane, 100th goal. How big an impact has he had at that football club? Because when he was at Southampton, he was a little bit hit and miss, but his consistency level seems to have gone through the roof since he got to your place.
And I think that's the big thing. God bless him. I think if you witnessed the Leeds game, you thought, oh my goodness, how many chances did he miss? This has been part of Sadio's... He'd probably have a similar turnaround of what Mo Salah has got since he's been here. But in fairness, he is what he is. He's maybe not going to get as many goals as Mo. He touched, what was it? I think they all had, Sadio, Mo and Harry Kane, did they all have 22? I think the year before last. So he's done his bit at Liverpool. I think he's been a wonderful signing. And in fairness, Tiz, I always thought he was a good player at Southampton. But his consistency level, his assists, his pace, what he does for Liverpool. And I think in fairness, we have literally made him a superstar on the world stage. I'm nothing about Southampton. I think that's how he's elevated himself with his performances.
Yeah, I think obviously playing in a better team has obviously helped him out a huge amount with the amount of chances that he gets in games and all that kind of stuff. But no, I've been very impressed with him, I have to say. Charlie?
Yeah, I'm the same. I think sometimes when you go to the bigger club, it can fall one way or the other, can't it? It can overpower you. And I think what Manny's come in, because he still sounds as if he's moody in terms of him and Salah, and yet the record is stunning, isn't it? But they always have a little fallout, and I quite like that because it's competitive. But he was a guy, even when Firmino and Salah weren't playing well a couple of seasons back, he kept it going, his movement, his energy. Him and Andy Robertson down the left-hand side. He was always troublesome. And I really did. It was one of those nights, though, at Leeds, wasn't it, Tomo? Oh. That he had so many chances and you were sitting going, please score, because he's going to be furious if he goes into that dressing room and hasn't scored the goal. It reminds me, it's a little bit like the great we had at Celtic, Henry Larsson. When Larsson first came into Celtic, he was pretty average. But then he built up his reputation and he started to goal after goal. He became the superstar player that he was. And Manny's a bit like that. Not to that level, but that's the momentum of the club which made him. And I think he's been an absolute superstar for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he certainly has. You mentioned Arsenal there briefly, Chaz. Obviously, it was a tough game at Burnley and a good 3 points, I'd say. What did you make of the Burnley penalty that was overturned? Do you think that was a right decision?
Penalty!
I think we got away with one there, in all honesty. But then, when you do really check the replays, he gets a touch on it,
absolutely,
doesn't he?
Absolutely, Charlie.
He gets a touch on it. And I think there was... I mean, as much Tez, I can't believe for the last few weeks you've been complimenting referees and sometimes VAR. But my God, there was a couple of teams last weekend who really suffered badly. It was back to its old self. Arsenal deserved the points. I actually suggested that Odegaard should be dropped so that we could have a little bit of muscle. And then he scores a stunner. So he must start this weekend. But no, I was really pleased with the battling qualities of Arsenal. And I was particularly impressed with the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper seems as if he's an authority at the back. He's been questioned already in his early career at Arsenal. So I was far more upbeat, and certainly far more upbeat going into the London Derby this weekend.
But Charlie, I'm not so sure of him, I'll be honest. I'm not so sure of either of them, Leno, Ramsdale. What I've seen of him at Sheffield United, and then Arsenal were paying so much money. I know they were relegated, Sheffield United, and I know you could say, well, it takes a lot more than just a goalkeeper, but he didn't cover himself in glory in any of his games. I thought he had a really torrid season, not saving too much. And I was absolutely shocked. And they let the better one go, in my opinion, to Aston Villa, Martinez. I thought he's looked absolutely stunning. So, in fairness, I'm still... Jury's out with me on him, Charlie, I must admit.
No, I get that. I get that, guys. The only thing I can say is that the test when, you know, I think yous were fair in the criticism when Brentford kind of out-muscled them. They just, you know, they were soft, Arsenal. And I just thought going to Burnley, it was going to be that type of performance again. But I thought he came through his decision. He'll make mistakes, Tom, I'll get that. All goalkeepers do. But I just liked it. He showed some authority, which Arsenal just don't have with Leno.
That's fair enough. From Burnley's point of view, Tomo, they lost 7 of their last 9 games at the back end of last season. 1 point from 5 games at the start of this season. Were you surprised Sean Dyche got a new contract?
Do you know what? I've been... Do you want to see it? And I've gone, how does that happen? Because I thought in the last sort of 12 months or so, he's been at a little bit of loggerheads with the board, and he's been probably wanting more money to spend, and he knows how difficult it is, and he's got to cut his cloth accordingly. But I always thought... He's ready. Once a decent job comes up, if he gets offered it, I think that'll be gone. He started having a really hard time towards the end of last season. It's not been good this season. And he signs a contract. I'm just thinking, well done, Sean. It does surprise me at the moment. And it was one of my tips for it to be in the bottom three. They are actually struggling. The old Burnley is not there at the moment. Sean's still got his battling qualities and still wants to do it, which I think is a positive for Burnley, but it does worry me at the moment.
I think we always get to a kind of sell-by date or situation, but he's been linked with in the past, Everton. I mean, the surprise that you're suggesting there, Tiz, tells me that you're probably surprised he's still there more than anything else.
I don't know about still there, but I was a bit surprised when I saw how they finished last season and 1 point after 5 games this. I was a little bit surprised that a new contract was sorted out, if I'm honest. But, you know, nothing should really surprise us in football. We've been in it long enough now. And don't get me wrong, I like Sean. He's a top bloke. I was just a little bit surprised given the circumstances. That was all. I'm pleased for him, as I say. I've got a lot of time for Sean, and he's an absolutely top bloke. Now, before we go on to reviewing any more of the weekend's games, I need to talk to you two, because the Acca last week, what is going on? Charlie, Leicester City lost. Wolves lost. Me, Leeds didn't lose.
Oh,
you two are really letting the side down, honestly.
Tiz, how did you remember them so well this week? Because last week you absolutely had a shocker. You were all over the place, by the way.
I had a senior moment, Tomo.
It was
a meal flush.
I don't know why. I think I probably just wrote down the teams and couldn't believe that I'd actually gone for Leeds, given that two of my brothers are Leeds supporters and I tend not to really back them too much. But I apologise for that slight blip in the memory. But don't detract from the main. That's 3 weeks in a row, Tomo. You have got your team wrong on the accumulator. So it's,
you're
having it's a time to buck up for this.
Oh, shut up, Nicholas.
That's right. I'm not as yet.
Do you know the worst thing? it's just absolutely shocking. Because I've now gone for Watford, who, for this week, which, what are you nodding your head at? That I told...
Well, you're on a run, aren't you?
Yeah. But you've got to go for a little bit of value. Who always used to say that?
Oh, the old value line.
It's Shorty, Mr. Stelling, go for a bit of value. But I have, and I have gone for Watford this week. And I really do fancy them against Newcastle. I really do. I thought they were outstanding last week. So, for me, that's my team. Certainly put Norwich to the sword. So, come on, you two numpties, let's hear what you've got.
Charlie, what have you gone for this week's ACCA after the very poor performance from your team last week, getting beat off Brighton? Although we'll talk about that in a second, about whether perhaps they should have at least had a point given the VAR situation.
I was done, and we'll touch on that. I'm in the North London Derby this weekend, and I'm going for Arsenal.
Arsenal
to beat Spurs. We touched on it last week, guys. If Spurs defend the way they're defending at the moment, then surely Arsenal will take advantage of that. And I really do think you get to a point where being a coach or a manager and the players. And after what Arteta's been talking about, I just feel that this is the opportunity that Arteta's probably been waiting to make his point to the Arsenal supporters that these are the type of games if we go and win, we'll get momentum and we'll build. I fancy Arsenal quite strongly this
Charlie,
weekend.
Charlie, I get to the point where I worry about your sanity.
Charlie, come on. Now, listen. We've got to take this seriously. People are listening to this and listening to our advice. You've got to take it seriously. The first rule of betting is never let your heart rule your head when it comes to gambling.
That's better, Miss.
That'll be very interesting to see what your choice is going to be, I would imagine. So
my choice this week is Southampton.
Oh, what? Well, there you go. I wonder how that can happen. Haven't won a game all season, other than a cup tie. So don't give me all that. I just think that Spurs don't know what team they're going to pick. Of course, they've got good players who can hurt Arsenal. I just think this is a weekend that Arsenal might just gain momentum. So I'm going Gunners.
Okay.
Are you two sad?
I was incredibly impressed with my team's performance at Man City. Not just the fact that we got a draw, the fact we should have had a penalty and won the game. But I just thought the fact that we restricted Man City to just one attempt on target in the whole game was incredibly impressive, and I do see a victory for my team.
And you were probably just getting from behind the couch at that point, because when they did have that chance, I think it was very late on in the game, wasn't it?
Definite offside at the end. Definite offside. You know, it was miles off. It was at least a toenail.
Yeah.
Oh, your dog agrees with you.
Our choices for this week's ACCA are Arsenal at 13-10 to beat Tottenham, the Super Saints at 8-5 to beat Wolverhampton Wanderers, and Watford to beat Newcastle at 13-10.
Good
and
value.
A small £10 bet on that bet will mean you'll probably lose £10. but if by some miracle all three do win, you will collect a very nice £137.54. So I think we're probably just on the wrong side of profit now, given that we were very good in the first week, but the 3 weeks ensuing. Actually, no, because it was about £100, wasn't it, the first one? So we'll still be in profit.
Still be hanging in there.
We'll still be in profit, so we're okay. But let's try and get back to winning ways this week. Back to the weekend's action. One of your teams there, obviously Watford, that you've picked, Tomo. As you mentioned there, very good win at Norwich, who aren't particularly great, it's got to be said. But what I was impressed with, I saw a little bit of Emmanuel Dennis playing last season, wasn't particularly impressed with him. But I thought the desire that he showed for that first goal, Charlie, I'll ask you this, because as a forward, me and you probably weren't noted for our heading ability, but I thought Emmanuel Dennis's desire to get in and nod that ball in front of the centre-back was outstanding.
It's a thing that I don't see a great deal of from enough players, especially when they're not playing at the really top clubs. That I think they, in the old days we would say you need to get in where it hurts and where it matters. And I think that's exactly the example. I'm the same to us. I really did think he looked pretty average when we first seen him. And you just get opportunities. And then you see something like that, and he looks so determined and so, you know, encouraged to go, whether they've been working hard on training. Because I think we suggested that's the type of thing that Watford would miss Deeney for. But then all of a sudden he springs up, and it was fantastic celebration. So he's got the energy, and he's got the craft and the desire now. But can he be consistent? And I don't think Watford are consistent. Him, Saar, who's got great speed and a decent finisher, they're not consistent enough, vulnerable at the back. So I have my doubts on Watford this weekend for Tomo's fancy.
I'm not sure that their opponents are in that great a form, but
exactly.
Anyway, let's move on to Tomo's second team, who suffered their first defeat of the season. I don't know about you, Tomo. Did you think the 3-0 Villa scoreline was a tad flattering at all?
Yes, I do a little bit. Everton is struggling at the moment. We'd been without Calvert-Lewin, who's really become a big part of the way they play. Yet they've got Townsend in there and Gray in there. But I think you need that central one. And then Richarlison gets injured as well. So they've got their problems, Everton. No, it was 3-0 was harsh on them, I felt. And it was the goals coming in, I think it was a 7-minute spell. And I think even with Rafa, I know from Istanbul, 6 minutes, scored the goals. Ancelotti didn't have a chance. I just thought I'd mention that. And it was, I don't think Rafa had time to change anything. And it was done and gone, and you're 3-0 down very quickly. So I do think, listen, Villa have done very well. They're a little bit up and down, but I think there is a lot there that you can fancy with Villa.
A very nice goal for Matty Cash to get underway in the Premier League. Thought he took his goal brilliantly, cutting in on the right with a smashed his left foot into the roof of the net. But what I was really impressed with was Leon Bailey's contribution off the bench, Chaz. One assist, one goal, which he took very well. I thought he was very good.
I thought he was excellent, Tiz, and I know the Villa fans have been talking about this lad for a while. I think they've just been waiting for the right time to introduce him into the side. I think, again, last weekend we touched on Watkins looking fit and sharp, and I think that balance and partnership with Danny Ings, who's clever and intelligent in terms of movement but touch, and I think that can be a strength. I thought down the right-hand side they're a wee bit vulnerable at times, Villa. And Cash, before his goal, actually wasted 3 or 4 really good attempts that he should have put into good areas. But Bailey, you're right. And I actually really enjoyed the finish because he didn't want to think too long about it. He just wanted to get his laces through it and just get it into the back of the net. And I thought that determination was really encouraging. It's got to do him the world of good. And I think the manager will be sitting going, oh, there's another one. I've just picked another one here. Good energy. I think even before that, he was back defending, helping out the right-hand side with Cash also. So he's got brilliant enthusiasm, and he'll eventually be a starter. He'll be a starter eventually.
He pulled his thigh as well, didn't he, with that shot? He's hit it that hard that he actually pulled his thigh. Yeah, and he had to come off. So he come on as sub and had to go off as sub because he pulled his thigh. He said, I just thought, I'm going to put my foot through this, because he was explaining it after the game. But coming back to the Blues, I really think that it's showing the lack of depth in their squad and their investment. I know he plucked Gray out and he Townsend for nothing. Rodriguez is obviously off to, I don't know, is it Qatar or something? So Rafa obviously doesn't fancy. You're looking at the strength now and you're going, wow, they need to get them back fit as quick as possible. Otherwise, that good start that they've had, they could pay for it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Charlie, your accumulator pick last week had a bit of a shocker, but I think we have to give huge credit again to Brentford, who have had a cracking start to the season and a very, very worthy 3 points, I thought, given the performance they put in there.
No, I think that's what we're going to get from Brentford. You know, Wolves was Tomo's, I was Leicester. I thought what we did see, Tiz, was this, the not just leaving Tony through the middle. Nice bit of muscle, nice bit of pace up front. But they wanted to stretch him. And one thing we know about Wolves under Nuno was they were pretty rigid and solid in their formation and their positioning. This manager seems to be a little bit less of that. The discipline's not quite there. And I think Conor Cody looks as if he's getting stretched and pulled all over the place. But I liked the way Brentford went about the wider areas and tried to hurt him down the flanks. And I thought that's where they gradually won it. I mean, Tony at one stage looked as if he was getting a hat-trick until he got a couple of disallowed goals. But they played well. Even with 10 men, I thought they were very well controlled. I've been really, really impressed with Brentford. They don't get overexcited. And I think at the back, they're pretty calm. Ayer's done a decent job since joining from Celtic. Things are looking very promising for them.
They are indeed. Tomo, I've got to ask you about the penalty incident. I mean, we saw the wrestling going on from corners in that box. The referee even warned the defender. What was Markel doing wrestling Tony to the ground like that? In fact, what was he even doing marking him in the first place when he's about a foot short than him?
Well, that's... See, what they do a lot with some of these players now, shorter people become blockers on certain players. And I was looking at it, and it was absolutely nailed on. You can't do this, Tiz, and too much of it is happening. I think we've seen one with Decore last week at Goodison Park, I think. Was it against Tarkowski or something like that? And he literally wasn't even watching the ball, Decore, and he was literally dragged him to the ground. They have to do something about this. And I'm so glad, because it was wrestling, WWF, and he's just gone whack. And I think I think more has to be done. Otherwise, these people are just going to continue. I don't know where it comes from. I never, in my coaching days or being assistant manager, putting people to mark people, I never, ever asked anybody to just hold people. Make sure your man doesn't get to the ball. You put yourself against them one-on-one, and that art seems to have gone out of the game.
I just hope the refs are going to continue with us, Tiz. I hope the referees now, not like they did 4 or 5 years ago, they do a one-off and then
absolutely
they let it go again. Let's stick with this. Let's get consistent with it and punish, because as Tom was pointing out, there's an art to defending, and that certainly was not the art.
Tiz.
No, absolutely.
While we're going on about the VAR, can we just quickly
Tomo, before you start, we're going to take a little break here. And in the second half, we're going to start on VAR, because there's a few contentious decisions we need to talk about before we start taking a look at next weekend's fixtures. So we're going to take a break here, and we will see you shortly on the second half of Where's Jeff?
Where's Jeff?
Okay, welcome back to the second part of Where's Jeff, where we are going to take a look at a few of the VAR decisions from last weekend. But firstly, Tomo, massive story in football this week, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it because you're closer to his era than me and Charlie were. Jimmy Greaves, the passing of Jimmy Greaves at the age of 81. Now, I know you didn't quite get to play against him, but you probably saw more of him than me and Charlie did.
Yeah, I did, and I'm glad that I have done. Do you know one of the marvels about Jimmy Greaves was how many goals he scored by just passing the ball into the net? Literally just side foot, just put. He was an absolute marvel. And we've seen a few on the TV of him hitting him from the edge of the box. Most of the one that I like best is when he goes and dribbles past the goalkeeper and then just rolls it in. He done that so often, Tiz. He was a genius. And To sort of watch him on the television as I did in those 60s was just wonderful. You hated it when your team, Liverpool, came up against him. You were really sort of in awe of the guy. But he had that thing. And then, God bless him, he comes out on the television, writes all those evils that he had, and him and Saint on the television. I don't know whether you two lads ever watched it, but
yeah,
it was
a big part.
It was a little bit of just... having a laugh, doing things, enjoying football is what we did on Soccer Saturday with five of us. And it was these two guys who brought something different to your Saturday afternoon. And the two of them to go in the 1 year, you know, Saint going before Jimmy, I just think has been an absolute travesty in our lives. But, oh, Jimmy Greaves was honestly one of the great finishers of our time.
Well said, Tom. Absolutely superb. Okay, so boys, the VAR from the weekend, we're going to start with my team. Please tell me that none of you two think that the correct decision was come to in the end. Surely that is a penalty. I'm not saying it was a red card. Surely that's a penalty. Please tell me you agree.
I didn't see it.
I would even go as far as to say I think it's a red card.
I agree,
because
Charlie.
He's not in control of it. He's not in... Kyle Walker relies on his pace to get him out of trouble. And he stepped across and he's blocked. He's blocked the player going in to finish. So he took the chance. The chance was the wrong decision. And I thought VAR got it wrong. And I really did think, if you stop that goal-scoring opportunity as blatantly as that, it should be a red card also.
Yeah, I think the support... I'm not going to get the wording exactly right, but it's supposed to be... The double jeopardy comes in is when you're making a genuine attempt to get the ball. Am I quite right there, Tiz? You do have your rule book?
Yeah, if there's a genuine attempt to get the ball, then, yeah, absolutely, it shouldn't be a red
card. Where does that come into this? Because I don't think he makes no attempt. He knows he's on the wrong side. He goes right across Armstrong. And to me, it's an absolute blatant penalty. And when I see John Moss going across to have a look, not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, and they keep replaying it, I'm going, uh-oh. Because straight away you go, yes, I've got it right, the penalty. Yes, I've got it right. It's a red card. And you may disagree with the red card, Tiz. I just think he doesn't make a genuine attempt to get the ball.
I think what he's done is he's gone across the player to put his body in between the two and then try and come away with the ball. That's how I kind of saw the situation. But when I looked at the replay and I thought, well, Kyle Walker hasn't got any part of the ball at all. He hasn't touched the ball in any part of that situation. And I watched it and went, How can he look at that and think that he's made a clear and obvious error, which is what the criteria is
Absolutely.
For overturning a penalty? There is no clear and obvious error there, because I've yet to hear anybody come up with a reason why it's not a foul.
Not
one person has come up with a reason and gone, well, this is why, this is why he hasn't given it. And it's just bizarre. It feels like the only people that thought that wasn't a penalty was, funny enough, I think it was Martin Atkinson in the VAR room.
Well, there you go.
Which is just absolutely bizarre. And let me tell you, 100%, if that incident occurred at the other end, there is no way that the penalty would have been taken away from Manchester City. It's a disgrace!
What are you trying to say, Tiz? And when they were saying, Armstrong was already going down. No, he's literally...
No, he wasn't.
He's got a chance of...
He's been blocked.
Absolutely, guys. Well, we're all in agreement to that one.
Okay, please, we're all in agreement to that one. Next one. West Ham's penalty decision. Luke Shaw handball.
Penalty.
100% penalty for you guys?
100%. Arms away from his body.
Yeah. Did you not learn from the week before?
Absolutely. No, exactly. We were talking about it.
That's two decisions that we're 100% on. Okay, the next one. Ronaldo's penalty appeals. The two... where he gets... he runs into Soufal.
He runs into Soufal? What are you trying to insinuate?
Well, I'm saying he runs into him. I'm saying he knocks the ball past him. Soufal puts his leg out. And Ronaldo ran into his leg. Now, I don't know if... I think there's a little bit of contention with that decision. I think that could be looked upon in two different ways. And the Kurt Zouma one, Ronaldo is clearly falling over before the challenge is even made. So what do you think? Penalties one and two, Charlie, what are you going with?
First one for me wasn't a penalty. I think he knows exactly what he wants to do. He wants to make contact with Soufal. And for that reason, I don't think that he's committed to the cause on it. The second one, I did. That's how I seen it, Tomo. And the second one, again, I thought that was more of a penalty. I thought that looked as if there was a bit more of a touch in that one. So I thought the first one, no. Second one, yes.
Well, listen, you two clowns. This was absolutely, both of them were nailed on for me. And I know you can go on about him going down and all that. The two tackles are not good enough. He puts out that leg. Tis for the first one. I just think Soufal, he's just got his leg out there. He's nowhere near the ball. He's doing that to impede him. And the second with Zuma, he's not getting anywhere near that ball. I think he's every justification. I know Ronaldo goes to ground too easy at times, but for me, guys, the two of them were absolutely nailed on. I have to think my own team, and I would go absolutely berserk if they were.
I'm going to ask you, Tomo. I'm going to ask you about the. I can kind of understand the first one. It was poor defending, but you could argue that Ronaldo initiates the contact. He's the one that runs into the defender. Now, the second one, I don't see how that can possibly be given as a penalty when Ronaldo drags his back foot and then falls over and he's nearly actually on the floor before there is any contact with Kurt Zouma at all. If you slow that down, and I've watched it loads of times, you slow that down, there's no contact with the defender until Ronaldo is nearly touching the floor and he's already dived. That's not a penalty for me.
It's a penalty all day long, Tiz. I'm absolutely shocked.
How?
Because Zouma is he knows it's last ditch. And he is going already across. Ronaldo's not, his body is taking
him. He hasn't
touched him. Don't challenge him then.
He hasn't touched him.
Why make the challenge?
No, that's irrelevant. It's irrelevant.
So he's making contact. He's making contact.
No, the contact was when Ronaldo was nearly on the floor.
You're saying Ronaldo's making a contact. Oh, behave yourself. When was the last time you made a tackle?
Shocking.
I don't know, but you know how you fall down.
I don't make tackles, but I know I can see a dive when I see one, because I used to do that sometimes as well.
Well, listen.
Yeah, I remember that.
Tiz, are we not going to debate the other one at the other end? Wan-Bissaka.
One. This is the most. I think this is the most bizarre decision I think I've ever seen on a football pitch. So Wan-Bissaka cleans out Soucek in the box. Ball gets slipped in the box. Soucek's coming across. Wan-Bissaka clearly takes his foot from behind. And I'm not being funny, right? Even if Martin Atkinson goes, nah, not a penalty. Bit of a coming together. Bit of a collision. I'm not going to give a penalty there. Right, that in itself would probably have been a slightly bizarre decision. And then he goes, no, Soucek has fouled Wan-Bissaka. And he gives a free kick to Manchester United. It's the worst decision I've seen this season. Martin Atkinson, what an absolute joke.
Can I just say this? Has Martin Atkinson, because he's probably one of the most experienced referees, is he pulling rank with a lot of these decisions, whether he's in Stockley Park or whether he is on the pitch and he's getting advised to look at things? Because some of them were bewildering. And I know we can argue the rights or wrongs of it, the Ronaldo ones. The Wan-Bissaka on Soucek was just absolutely another. And I'm just thinking, is some of the other VAR people, when Atkinson's doing it, not wanting to overrule him? I'm only playing devil's advocate here. Yeah,
Tom, I don't think he's the only one. I think the John Mosses, the Mike Deans, and him, the older guys, are sitting there saying, we'll be making it look like our way. Help me out every now and then if you think I'm getting it wrong. So, yeah, I do think they're making their own rules up at times.
Yeah.
Shocking. Okay, so onto the Brighton Leicester game was an interesting one. Two
disallowed
goals for Leicester City. Both times Harvey Barnes adjudged to have been in an offside position. Tomo, what did you make of the two incidences? Do you remember? Did you see them?
Yeah, I did do. And at the first one, I looked at it and I thought, this I call is the it's Harvey Barnes, and I looked at him. The first one, slightly, you could maybe agree with it. But the second one, not. Agreed. He is not anywhere near him. And how the VAR could judge it, that it's wrong. This game is hard enough as it is. And to chalk off when you are fighting for your life and you're trying to claw your way back into the game.
And it was Marker.
But I just think, is this a Barnes thing about standing in front of the goalkeeper? Because Astley's made an art of it, blocking goalkeepers for Burnley. And I just think, Tiz, can I just say, if you go and stand in front of them, you're going to have to accept the consequences in a bit of a way if teams do push out and play offside.
Yeah, I'd agree with your summation there, Tom. The first one, you could see why. The second one, not for me. Chaz, you agree?
Totally agree. And worse than that, just to compound my whole day for that, Leicester, was the penalty given against him. You were just actually going, how many things can he actually get wrong that he can keep going? And I have to say, at the end of it, whether people think Leicester deserve to get something from it, was that I thought Brendan Rodgers, to his credit, kept pretty cool in the circumstances when so many things went against him, especially when he's not having the easiest of times right now. So it was an absolute shocker for Leicester.
I mean, how do they not look at that and see that Mope is fouling Vestergaard and that's why his hand is up there in the first place? It was an absolute joke.
Do you know what, guys? I was just thinking. Then I was thought, which one? What penalty is that, Charlie? And then as soon as you said Mope, it was shocking. Absolutely. Surely he is initiating the contact with Vestergaard first. So it's a foul.
It's a foul, 100%. I think we've given a lot of praise to referees this season so far, and the VAR and all that stuff. But I've got to say, this weekend,
you're back.
Dog poo this weekend, referees, absolute joke, and especially you, Martin Atkinson, you bottled it. So now that we've slaughtered them, let's take a look ahead at the weekend's fixtures, because there's some absolute crackers this weekend, starting on Saturday lunchtime with Chelsea against Manchester City. Chaz, how do you see this one going? This is the game of the season so far, isn't it? Two of the most impressive teams in the league, you reckon?
I've said since the start that I really have been impressed by Chelsea. I like the balance that he's got. He's got good energy in midfield, good passes, the strength of Lukaku up front. Do you know the thing about Lukaku also, what I've been watching, is that it doesn't really run too far. It's like 10 yards to the left, 10 yards to the right. It's all about trying to feed into him now, and then the midfield working off him, or the wide players come to support him, or people going in behind. And I really like the look of the balance of what they've got. I still think they're a touch vulnerable at the back. I really do. I think that's why they play the back three, because there's a certain amount of insecurity within that when you go a back three, and they like the wing backs pushed up. But they've been the team that's impressed me most this season so far. I mean, Man City, there's still this feeling that lack of a natural number nine, like what Lukaku have got and what they missed out on, is maybe just give him a... But I think this is going to be a cracking game. Man City will make it open. Chelsea will be quite happy to sit in and counter-attack with the strength. I'm going for Chelsea to win this. I think Chelsea look absolutely brilliant.
I'm with you, Charlie. I think City are looking vulnerable because the injuries, what they've got at the moment, I don't think they're ready to take on this Chelsea side. I mean, go toe-to-toe with them. So can they dig in defensively and be sort of solid and stay in the game? I just think Chelsea... Tuchel has brought something different. He's like brought a real winning mentality. You do it my way or you're out of here. And the players are tougher mentally and physically. And I just think that they will have too much. If they want this, Chelsea, at the weekend, they can really... This one will set a real marker.
I think you're underestimating just how good a point that was for Man City at the weekend. I think they'll look back at that game and think, yeah, that was a good point. A rampant Southampton team. I think he's got the makings of a cracking game. I think they might cancel each other out. And I think we could see a draw in this game here. I think it could be a little cagey draw. Man United Villa. Can anybody see Villa causing United problems at the weekend?
No, not really.
Yeah, I can actually. I do.
I'll go with you then, Chaz.
Yeah, I can see Villa being very good in the counter attack. Manchester United. I think so far the inspiring thing about Manchester United is coming from behind and managing to turn it round again. But I think we've seen evidence again last weekend, the Thunderbolt at the back. And I do think with Ings and Watkins and Bailey is fit, I think Aston Villa could really give it a problem. I still think Man United will edge it, but I think this is a tight one for them.
No, I fancy Manchester United. I think they've really got... You're looking at them, they're not too many injuries, Charlie. They're
not making a lot of chances, Tom, although, are they?
I just think... Look, you look at Ronaldo and you think, what's he going to bring? Is he going to bring this blistering pace, scoring these goals? And he's getting tap-ins. So he's doing what they were hoping, like Cavani would do. So they've got... And people are saying... Answer this, me lads. This big debate in the press is Ronaldo good for Manchester United, or is he going to upset the way the team actually? And I'm going, what? How? He's obviously going to improve this side if they can keep him fit. They keep him there, which most of the time he is fit. I just think he's an asset. Full stop.
No, absolutely, Tomo. I think the problem Villa have got, Chaz, is 7 points from their 3 home games, 0 points from their 2 away games, and 6 goals conceded, 3 goals conceded in both games. So the away form, not particularly great at the moment. Everton against Norwich. Can we see Norwich winning a football match this season, Tomo, Chaz?
I'll tell you what, if Norwich have got a chance, it is this week against Everton. As I said before, with their injuries, what they've got, they probably think that they have a chance. I don't think they've got any chance. I think if Everton at home with half a side, I think are going to beat Norwich. I think there's too many things not happening. Defence, midfield, up front for Norwich City, it's just quite bewildering. How you seen them run away with the Championship last year? And
Tom, they were moaning last week that they think Pookie is maybe too old, or he can't hit the levels that they want him to get to. Well, I tell you what, if you were to watch Norwich v Liverpool youth team the other night, you would have went, well, who's going to put Pookie out the team? Because there was not a soul within that Norwich framework that I could honestly say that gives you hope. I thought they were awful.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the Canaries this season, sadly. Leeds against West Ham, this has the makings of possibly a good, entertaining game. Leeds at home, plenty of energy, but West Ham in good form.
Yep, cracking game for me. Leeds good energy, but struggling for goals. West Ham, I thought they played well again last week, although they could beat Man United. I really thought they were unlucky. I think things are good, even when they've been without Antonio. You can see, of course, they miss that presence and the strength and the power. But
he'll be back for this one.
He's back for this one. Leeds, yeah, the energy and the drive still there. But are they doing it in the right areas? And I don't see it. I just see Bamford playing up there, trying to feed off little bits and pieces. They just don't seem to have the right energy in the last third of the pitch. I'm going West Ham away win.
I'm with you, Charlie. There's something about this Leeds team. Has everybody maybe sussed them out now? Is to sort of not get caught out for the counter-attack and get into, well, you have a go, we have a go. I think some teams have done that. And they had some chances against Newcastle last week. Didn't take them. Rafinha, had a couple of good chances. And he's getting to that point, Bamford, where you're going, is he going through one of those spells where he's looking like he's lacking confidence again? I think there was one he was going through and it's on his right foot. And he's just got to sort of put his foot through it, maybe bend it a little. He gets it all wrong, scuffs it. Leeds have got to dig in at this moment. I do fancy West Ham.
Yeah, that's a full house from us three, because I fancy West Ham in that one as well. Now, a couple of teams who are probably a little bit worse off than we all thought they might be at this stage of the season. Leicester with three defeats from five games, hosting Burnley, who without a win this season. Surely this is where Leicester can kick back into gear, isn't it, boys?
Yeah, I do. I think so, Tiz. I think they'll relish this. I think Brendan Rodgers will be saying to them how hard done by they were last week. Not too much wrong. Again, sort of need to strengthen a little bit at the back. They'll be all becoming a bit vulnerable. Can Burnley take have a chance with that? I don't think so. I do expect Leicester to win this one and get back on the winning trail. And sitting 12th is not really good enough for them. So this one for Leicester.
I keep looking at this Leicester thing, and we're back to relying on Vardy's pace. Is Maddison doing enough? Are they getting enough from the midfield?
Charlie.
Yeah. Has Barnes, who was a little bit, didn't finish the season well last season, but he's a decent asset for them. Has he got, I mean, Tiz, you kind of played up front and behind it, and I did the same. You know, that creative spark that you need to supply people, but you've got to get on the ball in the right areas, and they don't seem to be getting that, don't you agree?
No, absolutely, Chas. I do indeed. I think it tells a very big story with Leicester's season with their creative players. Because if you look at Barnes and Maddison, the pair of them have started all five games this season. And in four out of the five games, both of them have been substituted. Which wow. kind of tells you that they're not producing what the manager is expecting from them. He's given them plenty of chances, but I'm not sure how long Brendan Rodgers will stick with them and keep playing them from the start before he tries to change things up a little bit. You know, he hasn't made a huge amount of changes.
I think Maddison is the worry. Vardy, you always know his energy and worry. Maddison seems to be he's wandering around in games. Tiz, he's not having an impact. Yeah. And I think Brendan had come out that he needs a little bit of TLC at the moment, not like Rollickens, not like. I don't see him playing in this game.
If you remember the tail end of last season, the two of them got caught out in discipline with their behaviour, and they've not really responded well to it this season so far. I tell you what I found really interesting today, though, is that all of a sudden Brendan Rodgers' name is getting linked with Barcelona. So there could be... Yeah, there should Charlie. Be a significant interest.
Hot off the press,
and I wouldn't
this?
Be surprised by that, guys. I really wouldn't be surprised by that.
Wow, would you be surprised by that if Barcelona weren't in the financial trouble that they're in at the moment?
Well, I don't
Do you think
it would
a very
be.
Affluent Barcelona would be interested in Brendan Rodgers.
I don't Ooh, think Brendan geez. Would be totally committed right now, but if they were to solve the problems going into next season, then I think there's a real potential of Brendan Rodgers going there.
Interesting. Tomo, your boys, tough game away at the surprise package of the season, Brentford. Do you expect them to go the same way as Arsenal did when they went down to the community stadium?
Well, they will be up for it. They'll be absolutely driven on by the crowd. This is what they've been looking for, playing all the, you know, the big four, because like we're going to talk in a minute about the other two used to be in that. Big six. But yes, I think Brentford will absolutely love it, and it'll be, and I think it'll be a tough one. If Tony's on his game, I think we're going to have something to... I do still expect Liverpool. We are playing some good stuff. We're looking strong. And I do expect us to come out tops on this one, but it'll be close.
This is a footballing game of the weekend. I know Chelsea and Man City is a star, superstar, but I think we're going to get a cracking game, proper game of football here. Good pace on both sides. Yeah, struggle for goals a little bit, Brentford, but I think they'll give everything. It's Liverpool for me. I can see the full-backs high up putting really dangerous balls in, and I think Liverpool will probably win this. I'm actually going to go something like a 4-2.
Ooh!
That would be a game. My boys are home to Wolves on Sunday this weekend. I'm hoping to get to that game.
Another point.
bit of a relegation 6 points down the bottom there, a 15th and 16th place. How do you see this one going, boys? Yep. Give me some hope.
Depends if you're going to attack. Are you going to stop parking the bus and go for an attack? And then your manager celebrates when you don't get the offside goal against you. I'd like to, for Southampton, for the Saints, your lot, to be a little bit more committed going forward. When these type of teams arrive at your ground, Wolves are vulnerable. They are decent going forward. Jimenez, lovely, as we mentioned, to see him back. But I think this is the opportunity for Southampton to go and force the issue a little bit more. Mm. You're a decent result in midweek. I fancy the Saints to nick this, but it'll be tight.
Oh, I think we're all in agreement, Tiz. I do fancy them. It is. Yahoo! It's time for you to step up. It's time to have a go. Obviously, not going to gung-ho and everything, because Wolves, with the pace of Traore, when's he going to come good in the goal-scoring stakes? I just fancy you really to wrap this one up this weekend, Tiz.
Well, let's certainly hope so. Now, you mentioned those two teams that used to be
making
challenging
up
for the
Palace and Brighton
for the Champions League. Arsenal against Spurs. We know that Charlie thinks that Arsenal are going to take this one because he's picked them in his accumulator. Tomo, any disagreement with that?
Yes, I've got to. My goodness gracious! Sitting in 13th place, the two teams who used to be involved in the Big Six and now can't get into the Big Four.
We were bottom 2 weeks ago.
I still don't think there's enough there. Spurs, I thought, had a good go for 45 minutes against Chelsea. Was it Chelsea below par or was it Spurs having a go? What Harry Kane was doing on the left flank, I don't know. And whether he's seen something in that Chelsea side that he thought he could son down the middle, I would like to think Harry Kane will be back down the middle for this game. I am going for a 1-1 draw in this game, Charlie. A boring 1-1 draw.
Boring?
And I've no true faith in Arsenal at the moment. And I know you've had a couple of 1-0 wins for the Gunners, but just something about it. Yes, a couple of clean sheets. I've not, and that's why with Spurs, after them winning 3 1-0s, them to come a cropper, you're just looking at it. They've had 2 3-0 defeats. It shows that they're not good defensively. Can Arsenal take advantage? I don't think enough of. So I'm going to sit on the fence with this. Tiz, what do you feel before we ask Charlie?
We all know what Charlie's going for.
Yeah.
But I'd agree with you, Tomo, on this one. I see a draw in this one. I don't see two fantastic teams here, and I think it'll be one of those derbies that just peters out into a draw and everyone walks away going, yeah, that was a waste of time. Finally, on the Monday night, another big game, because I don't know if you boys are aware of the rivalry between these two clubs, but it's pretty intense, this Palace Brighton thing. It is pretty feisty, and I think this will be an interesting game Monday night. How do you see this one going, Chaz?
I'd really like to look at what Vieira's doing at Palace after the first few weekends. I did think they played quite well last week at Anfield. Were in the game for a good period of time. I don't think he got enough out of Saha, to be honest, at Anfield. I thought he should have been getting on the ball a lot more and having a go. But I generally did like the look of things. The week before when he beat Spurs easy. Edward, I wasn't surprised they left him the bench because he was raving about Benteke's leadership, wasn't he? Mm. Could this be the game? I mean, Brighton, again, good little football inside, and surprised me last week with beating Leicester. They got lucky. I think their luck's going to run out. I really do think the energy and the commitment to this home support Monday night will be a factor. That means Saha will be up for it. Whether Edward starts or not, I would start Edward in these type of games. And I fancy Palace.
Tomo, I'm just interested in your take on how Patrick Vieira started, because Palace was one of the teams that I thought would struggle this season, but after the first five games, I'm just starting to perhaps change my mind a little bit about them. What do you think?
Well, obviously the first couple of games were trying, to say the least. But then the Spurs game, I think that gave them a bit of belief. Yes, there was the sending off against Spurs, which did help them. But I think that did give them that little bit of motivation. I do expect them to beat Brighton. Brighton, I totally agree with Charlie. They're a good watch. But I think this being a derby will be a little bit hostile. Will they manage it? And Charlie, I totally agree. If you mentioned last week, I said Zaha always turns up against Liverpool. But he was up against James Milner. And James, James flew in a couple of times, and I think he's gone. And he should really take, because Millie's not got any pace, and he didn't do enough. I do expect him to turn up at home. He loves the crowd. He loves the adulation. I thought Benteke, I thought they actually done all right. Yes, we were comfortable winners, but I think there was something there in this Palace side that the Vieira's got going. So I do expect Palace to win.
Good stuff, boys, good stuff. Well, we all look forward to watching another fascinating weekend of Premier League football, and let's just hope that the referees, VAR, have a much better weekend than they did last week.
Absolutely.
And let's hope that our accumulator gets back on track. The last 3 weeks have been shoddy.
Yeah, get your act together, just to get them right.
Good luck, boys. Good to talk to you all, and look forward to speaking to you again shortly. And thank you very much all to you for joining us on this latest episode of
Where's Jeff?